Let's open to Ephesians 5, and we'll read our text, which is verse number 19 through verse number 24. Ephesians 5, verse number 19 through 24. Let's read this, and I'll open us in prayer, and we'll have our message, which has been titled, In Everything. And verse 18 or verse number 19 says, speaking after he told us to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. It says, wives, or actually women, submit to your own man, your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives, the woman, be to their own husbands, their own man, in everything. Let's pray together. Our Father, you've given us a commandment, what we are to do, to submit in everything. And we are thankful that you speak unto us clearly, you talk to us by your word, and you give us the grace to obey. Help us to understand and be obedient to what you're teaching in the scripture, that we may have the benefit and bring us to Christ in our heart. Amen. Mm-hmm. So Ephesians chapter number 5, and I want to start at verse number 19. So at the end of 18, he is telling us to be filled with the Spirit. And so he goes on now to tell us examples of what this means. And he's been telling us all the way since Ephesians 1, mm-hmm. eyes of our understanding, being enlightened to know the hope of the riches of the inheritance. Mm-hmm. He said it in chapter 3 as when he said that to know the love of Christ, that you might be filled with this in the power of the Holy Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you be strengthened in his might, in love, and in good works. And so here, he's saying he filled with the Spirit, and here it means speaking to one another in psalms. Now, that is already an important lesson. Everything in the Bible is about context. And let's see, John 3:16. Mm-hmm. When the Lord Jesus said that God so loved the world, he's talking to Nicodemus, a Jew, and he's telling him that God has an elect out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. Not only of the Jews. That's what he's saying. That he has redeemed us to God out of every nation. It has an elect. And so the context will tell you exactly what is he saying. And the same word that is used in this place might not have the same meaning as it does here and here. Mm-hmm. That's the danger of a word study. is you have to look at the context each time to really see us being said. And so the context here is speaking to one another in psalms. This is how spiritual he and you are to be. And we can't be too spiritual if it's real. No, you can't pray too much if it's real. It will lead you to go into work too and to be kind towards other people. It isn't just prayer. If it's real to be speaking of Christ and to have the hymns on your heart, to be singing in church, to sing together. If you like singing, Sister Gina likes singing, I don't know. But you come together and you speak to one another in psalms. That's the scriptures, sung, hymns, on the solid rock. And spiritual songs. I can write a song. You can write a song. Have a little rhyme. Have a little rhythm. Have words that bring all the glory unto God. That's acceptable. I don't have to only have to hear hymns. I don't have to only. There are some churches that all they sing is the psalms. That's not all they should sing. That's what the verse says. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So we need to have all of these who add a little bit of different flavor into our life, because now me and you are spiritual people. And we are no longer carnal. We are no longer in the flesh. And I'm in this world, but I've been taken out of this world. And so now, you and me, we need to be who we truly are. Back when I played sports, I was in the NFL, I played in college, very physical game. I was trying to hurt you. But off of the field, I'm a different person. But on that field, it was extreme violence. So now that me and you are Christians, we are in the Spirit. We have the Spirit. Our playing field is in the gospel. This is my life now. And even though this isn't how I was, this is now who I am. And I'm casting off that old life. So don't let anyone tell you, oh, you're being too spiritual. Are you being real? Are you sincere? Then you can't be too spiritual. It's only being spiritual. It's only doing as you are told. I'm commanded, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's a constant, isn't it? That is a 24-hour occupation. If I'm awake, I have an opportunity to have Christ in my heart by faith and to be in communion with him. He said, singing and making melody in your heart, where? To the Lord. You're talking to somebody. He's hearing you. He's in communion with you. You're in fellowship with God. The housewife who is in harmony with God as she's washing the dishes is in worship, is being strengthened, is in fellowship with God. And she's doing exactly what she should be doing. That's part of why she has that task. To work with her hands, but to have her heart and mind occupied with Christ. So as you think about your day, how is it with you? Is Christ in your heart in a way that you're singing and you're making melody unto him, it means you're happy in the Lord. You trust his grace. You're obtaining his mercy. You are actually enjoying the inheritance. You're walking by faith. You got your mind on the doctrine of Christ, his mercies, his love, his commandments, his compassion. So if we would truly judge ourselves, I will be even more spiritual. And I'll be even more happy because I see how I'm to live. And what me and you are to do is to take this verse, Lord, put this inside of me. And he will do it. Bit by bit, inch by inch, or as a flood, it will come. He will give grace for me and you to honor him. And that's going to be very important as we continue in this text. Verse number 20 is this. Giving thanks, though I have Christ in my heart, I'm making melody. Giving thanks always. Is he really accurate?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
I think so, yes. Always.
For all things?
Yes.
Even the bad?
Mm-hmm.
How can you give thanks for something bad?
Because all things work together for good. If the Lord loves me and he allows it to happen to me, he's going to work for my good. I can give thanks for that. Can I?
Just you can give thanks because you have to know the word. But you have to know it. You have to believe it. I've been in and out of church most of my life, but I think, we were talking about this last week, sometimes, the word it sings loudly in my head. It's so clear, and I accept it. But there are certain times when I'm thinking, I flounder. So I think, really, the word does say to give thanks in all things. But sometimes it's hard when it's rough, if it's not really what you wanted, if it's not really what you planned it to be. I think really the faith and really just trusting and believe that all words do work all together for the good.
That's
true.
You
said this is the will of God concerning you.
Mm-hmm.
It's his will concerning you. We can give thanks.
And so let's say as you lose a child.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get in a car accident and you're paralyzed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you give thanks? Are you able to? Is it right to? Is it a commandment still? Is anything off limits? Is there any exceptions? Okay, Lord, this has happened. I won't be thankful.
But that verse says giving thanks always for all things to God the Father.
It couldn't be any more clear.
It couldn't be any clearer.
Yes, he says it three times. Giving thanks always.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually twice. Giving thanks always for all things. I can give thanks always for all things, just like you said, if I know it says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good unto them who love God. And so, Lord, you've taken away my ministry. I saw Elder Ward. I've been listening to his sermons. Excellent. Very different.
I listened to one about this morning in the kitchen.
Okay, I didn't even
Romans
see it.
Romans 8,
oh, yeah.
28, 29.
Mm-hmm.
He's preaching on that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't finish it, but
mm-hmm.
it's heavy.
Mm-hmm. He really thinks it through. He's in the spirit. Has boldness and courage. But I was listening unto one of his last sermons, and he died in 2008. He had lost his voice for cancer.
Hmm.
And so this great preacher, this orator, is screaming, it sounds like this. Repent! It was almost hard to listen to if you knew how mighty his voice was. And he's almost dead. And he's, you know, he's preaching the truth. But the Lord has taken away his voice, his scream, his power. How can he give thanks for that? Find a way. Lord, you use me, my whole ministry. Thank you. Lord, if it sees fit that I be silent now and you raise up others, I'm going to spend my life praying for them. Okay, Lord, and how you will. I can no longer preach as I once did. I can still write now. It's the book you had that was, it's been on my heart for all these years. I'm going to do it now. But ultimately, I give thanks to God for everything, for saving my soul. There is nothing he will ever do on earth that will match an hour in hell. And to be redeemed from an eternal damnation by the blood of Christ. And to be predestined, right? Everyone wants to argue on election every day. Every day. If I'm not elected, I'm not saved. And I would be arguing the doctrine of election until I was sent into the lake of fire. I obtained mercy. Thanks, I'm still going. I haven't quit. I haven't gone back. I love God. Everything about the gospel that Paul says that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. I have Jesus Christ. How can I be unthankful? It's impossible to ever bow my head and not have a reason for thankfulness when he saved my soul. It's impossible. But as you ladies said, it's by believing the truth. And that is our whole life. That my mind has this, but the Bible has that. Other people, they say this, but the scripture has that. Who are we going to listen to? And if we listen to God first, I'm under orders. I'm commanded. And that's exactly what I need to bring me out of my funk. I'm miserable, I'm depressed, I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm hurt. I am lost in my emotions. But as I read, give thanks always. If I'm not in rebellion, I take that verse, even with my tears, and say, God, help me. Make me able. I start to recount the blessings of the gospel. I find something to thank God for, that I might be obedient. And it's amazing how giving thanks makes you thankful in your heart. As you're in prayer and you're going over your blessings, it encourages your soul. The scripture said that David, he strengthened himself in the Lord. That when his family had been taken, and all of the families of his 600 soldiers, and they thought about, they spoke of stoning him in 1 Samuel chapter 30. He encouraged, he strengthened himself in the Lord. He looked to Christ and got encouragement. And he said, shall I go and, you know, pursue? And the Lord said, go and you will overtake. And now he's in the hardest situation. It's hard. Is your whole army is talking about killing you? Because under your leadership, all their wives, all their children are gone? That's your back up against the wall. Lord, I still got you. You are greater than all. What do you want me to do? That's encouraging, strengthening.
Mm-hmm.
That's our hope in God. No matter what happens. I have a situation now. I had some housing promised. I just found out it's been given to somebody else. And the person that was informing me was upset and you know, anxious as to where will I be staying. And I said, look, the Almighty God knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he is doing this not to make us fret, but to make us trust him. So any adversity that ever comes is to make us be weak enough. Is to make us to be weak enough. And I'm referring to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9 and 10. It makes me weak enough to trust God's strength, grace, mercy, compassion, wisdom, providing power, his goodness. That's what God wanted from Paul when he sent Paul, that messenger Satan, to beat him up. It was to hurt Paul with trials and afflictions in order for Paul to be so weak he'd have to lean upon Christ.
Mm.
And then Paul's preaching would be so powerful because it's Christ's spirit. And then Paul says, as I believe, have I spoken. I didn't just talk now. Is I wasn't just telling you the truth in my head. I was telling you things my soul is counting on. Things that are in my heart. Things I live by. I'm leaning on him. I'm not just, you know, impressing people in my knowledge. I'm leaning on what's coming out of my mouth to survive. That's preaching. So, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father. I've already been singing unto him. I may as well thank him also. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All blessings are in Christ. They only come through Christ. It's only because of Christ. There is no access unto God. There's no knowledge of God in his mercy except through Christ Jesus. Everything's about Christ in every sermon. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, the next section after this is going to talk about the wives and the husbands. But here he's saying everybody in the church, from the pastor to the 8-year-old girl, if she's in Christ, is to submit unto one another. Example. As to what time are we going to have the Bible study on Monday? Well, I asked Pat. Pat asked you. And then Pat tells me, I submit. If I couldn't do it, I can't do it. But I don't have to have it on my schedule. That's because I'm the pastor. I'm the teacher. If we're walking the hallway, I don't have to. I'm the biggest around here. Or you, I'm the oldest around here. No, no, no. I can move out the way. You move out the way. If I want to go left and you want to go right, if the issue isn't over the gospel, I submit, you submit. What's for dinner? Submitting, not having to have it my way. And it's good for everybody in the church to have that mind state. I'm the pastor, all the husbands. Not just this, I'm the boss stuff. So that's how you maintain peace. Through mutual yielding submitting to one another, I don't have to have my way. Even if my way is the best way, it is more important to be submissive and in harmony with the saints. It's the main thing, is to have this attitude of, it's all about me, everything I want, it's going to be my way or the highway. That's the attitude of a false church. If you go into a church and you go into the kitchen and the women are bossy, mean, they just don't know God. And you can trace it back to what's being preached in the pulpit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Verse number 22. And so now, and as a believer, I have to understand that I'm saved by grace, which makes me gracious.
Mm-hmm.
And to be gracious in a human context is to be yielding. It's to listen, even small little Becky, is to listen. And if I can, if it's reasonable, if it's right, I don't have to have my way. I can give. I can yield. Hmm? This is an easier way of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's much more gentle, much more pleasing unto God, and it has His Spirit. That's what makes life easy. If we're obeying God, His Spirit is helping us, and the burden's off our shoulders. This is the easiest life I could live. As far as its maximum peace, joy, and power from God. In the flesh is hard work. So verse number 22 says, wives, in the Greek, it is actually women. Submit to your own, and again in the Greek, it's man. I mean, it isn't a big deal. It is talking about a wife and a husband. But by saying your own man, that act of possession, he's my man. He's talking about your husband. And you're to submit unto your own husband, not everybody else's husband. There are only two people in the Bible that a woman cannot be and must submit to. Do you know who they are? I'm sure you know. You just
two people
mm-hmm.
in the Bible
mm-hmm.
that a woman does not have to submit to.
No. Two people in the Bible that a woman cannot be and she has to submit to.
I'm still a little bit confused on the question. Well, I think my mind is just that.
That's a hard question, I suppose.
It's not hard. It's not hard.
It's a riddle, actually.
Okay, she cannot be.
And she has to submit to. And so in a church, what can't a woman be?
A man.
A man, a pastor.
Pastor, that's okay.
And she must submit.
She cannot be a man, or because a man is a pastor is a man.
Well, yeah, she can't be a pastor, mm-hmm. and she cannot be a husband.
Mm.
Very simple stuff.
Mm.
But she has to submit to her own husband.
That
not
is a riddle, huh?
And it isn't everybody else's husband. Brother George, obviously, is Precious' husband.
Mm-hmm.
That's her job. It's not your job. He is your brother.
Mm-hmm.
And you're to submit to each other.
Okay.
It's a man has no special place except as husband and pastor. That's where his authority must be recognized. But as a man on the street, If I'm a woman, I don't have to submit to the man on the street as if he's my husband. And so often, I have seen men who think that because a home in the church are to be ruled by men, that all women are to obey them. They're fools now. And they're each time is unkind. So, but the depth of this submission is great. It is asked to the Lord. It isn't unto men. So what happens if your husband is a wretch, an unbelieving, a drunkard, a liar, hateful man? He's loud. He hates God. What then?
You submit as unto the Lord.
As unto the Lord. He goes, ultimately, you serve our Lord Jesus Christ, whether you're washing dishes, in Bible study, or in submission unto your husband. All of it is worship. All of it is obeying God because he forgave your sin and he's the boss. So submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That means his word is boss. So if the husband is wrong, what then? If you know he's wrong.
I guess we'd have to go into prayer.
Prayer?
But it's still, 22 is still saying, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. So we're asking God for wisdom and guidance and patience and everything else.
If he's telling you to do something wrong, against God, you know, you don't mean that, though.
It's the question is that his decision
is wrong.
Is wrong.
Oh, yeah, okay, then you do it. You submit. Don't you?
Well, I don't know that I would agree with that.
Okay.
No.
1 Peter 3.
Okay.
And we'll read just a couple of these verses here, and it will answer our question well. And it says here, 1 Peter 3, wives, likewise, chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
or chapter 3, verse number 1.
Okay.
It says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of
I was thinking wives. That. Mm-hmm. I was going to say that scripture a minute ago. Mm-hmm.
And so let's add in some of the extra light there. When Sarah told Abraham to take Hagar and to have a child through his slave, did she do wisely? Not wise at all, no. It was in the flesh. And he listened to her, and he's in the flesh too. But when Sarah told him to cast out Ishmael, cast out the bondwoman and her son, did she speak right?
That was in the flesh too, though.
So this is where you have to really know your Bible.
Okay.
I use a lot of illustrations from Scripture.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't that the will of God?
He told Abraham,
mm-hmm.
"You listen to your wife,"
yes, right.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps a husband know he must never obey his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But anything as she says, it needs to be taken up to God to see if he should obey that or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see the difference. It's a man is not whipped.
Mm-hmm.
But if she's right,
mm-hmm.
then let's do it. Isn't that mm-hmm. wisdom?
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't just, you know, she said do this, and he just jumped and did it. He went to God in prayer.
Exactly.
And guidance.
Exactly. Okay. It's the Lord said, that's exactly as to what you do. Okay. And that's the kind of wife a woman has, a helpmeet, a helper. But she is to be submissive in everything. And if you made your peace, mm-hmm. if you made your statement, mm-hmm. if you've answered, honey, this doesn't work, and his response is, I'm going to do it,
mm-hmm.
then without a word, in your meekness, in your submission, now you let the Almighty God fight for you. And so even when Sarah was told by Abraham to pretend to be his sister,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was wrong, no?
Mm-hmm.
But that great woman of God, she still did it. And it was God who kept that king from touching her.
Amen.
And he will fight for you
mm-hmm.
each and every time. And you may enjoy this privilege again. For the husband is, this is a fact, he's the head of the wife. He's not better than the wife. He's not smarter than the wife. He's not more spiritual than the wife. He may not be stronger even emotionally than his wife. But he's the head by the appointment of God. Our particular government, we don't use kings. But if a person is appointed king, like David, mm-hmm. you better get out the way. It's the last person I want to mess with mm-hmm. is a person that's been put in a position by God and I'm going to overthrow them? No, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
He has put your husbands in headship. Don't overthrow that. Don't despise that. It would be better for... Our black women in the U.S. need more teaching on these scriptures. All women do in the U.S. It ain't the same in Africa. You know, everybody everywhere needs every word of God. But our culture has mocked quite openly any submission of a wife unto her husband.
Mm-hmm.
It is one mm-hmm. of the most hated things in America.
Yes, it is.
But it's still the word of God, the only way of blessing. The only this is not an option book. It's the Lord didn't say, here is a way to do it. No, this is it. So the husband is the head of the wife. Not any better than, but in his position, he was created first, and the woman came from him and was brought to him in order to help him, and in her role in marriage to help her husband is her fulfillment, and for him to be helped to do what God's told him to do is the harmony of the household. He's the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. Is Christ the head of the church?
Amen.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. 100%. Here is the number one issue I find often. Is that many people who say, I'm a Christian, don't want to hear that Bible. There is a person, I just spoke to her, before I had my shower, I just found out that she's an Arminian. And that's not the gospel. And so she gave some verses, and I answered them, and I said, look, any of these verses, and she pulled them off of a website, it's a whole list, but it's if it's in the Bible, it's going to preach sovereign mercy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not scared of the Bible with any human on earth, but that's the difference. I'm willing to believe anything this book says, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Now, it doesn't matter. If this book says it, I bow immediately. But the false Christian, he says, well, I believe it, and I don't want to see what you say about it. I don't want to see any scriptures on it. What kind of person claims this is the word of God and does not want to hear what it says about what you believe? If you're right, but the scripture says that those who do the light come to the light, but that their works may be seen, that it's of God. But the people who hate the light, they don't draw near. They draw backward. They go run like Adam after they hear God's voice and hide. And I was raised in church. I've been baptized. I pay tithes. I'm zealous. But the voice of God comes with truth. So he is my master, my boss. This thing of, oh, I'll just take his salvation. I will take Ephesians 1, that's its election, I like grace. I'll take chapter 2. This here, no. This Christ, no, you can't have him. He won't surrender. He's not going to yield. When Abraham was trying to find a bride for his son Isaac, he sent his servant into this particular region as to where he had some people in his family. Mm-hmm. And he told his servant, bring that woman over here. My son is not going over there. That's salvation. You come to Christ on his terms. He does not enter you on your own terms. He's the boss. He's the husband. He's the head of the church. He won't surrender it. He won't back down. And he's to be obeyed. This doctrine of I'm saved, but I don't obey is of the devil. Any doctrine of faith that does not produce obedience, that's not faith. He is my master in everything. And if we get that point settled, everything else is easy. I can teach you the Bible if you bow to it. If you believe anything it says, if you surrender and you are willing to obey the things you see, the Almighty will give you more light. I get more light as I surrender. As I yield and surrender, I see more things open up. So that would be the issue of all issues. It could be baptism, surrender unto what it means and unto the commandment. The atonement. I know everyone's heard that Christ died for everybody and he atoned everybody's sins. It's not true. Mm-hmm. Christ died for the elect, the ungodly sheep, and he atoned the sins of all who believe, all that the Father gave him. He preaches unto everybody, come to Christ. But the elect are the only ones whose sins are paid already. The atonement has answered my debt in the sight of God, not my faith. My faith embraces the atonement, enjoys the knowledge of I have peace with God, but faith does not make atonement. Christ made atonement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my faith does not make the blood of Christ active or powerful. The blood of Christ is already active and powerful. Amen. That's why Amen. God raised mm-hmm. him from the dead. Mm-hmm. He satisfied judgment. He paid for sins. Mm-hmm. And so who is going to punish in hell that soul whose sins have been paid by Jesus Christ? Nobody. Impossible. That's why the atonement has already saved a certain group of people, and he calls out unto all, and all who come are already in this group. He is drawing you himself. But if people submit to the Bible, they will see it. If they don't, and they only believe in what they've heard, what they've been told, what seems reasonable unto them, what everybody else is saying, they'll miss Christ. Mm-hmm. So this doctrine of the headship of Christ unto his church, he is the head of everybody as Lord, but this headship is over his church, a particular specific group of people chosen by God and blessed who obtain mercy and salvation. And it says this, that he is the Savior of the body. What this means is that one I bow to as my master, as my husband, as my head, as my Lord. And if you want to read Psalm 45, it talks about this. He is your Lord. And it's in the context of marriage. And so she comes as a bride, but it is actually talking about his church. And he's saying that this head of everything is not a useless husband. This head of everything is the Savior of his church, his bride. His body is us. I'm in the body of Christ. I can be the hip, I can be the finger or the toe, but I'm included. And he's our Savior. He's not just our master. You do as I've told you. That's true. But he's our Savior that makes me able. He's my Savior that takes away my sin. He's my Savior that blesses me freely apart from the things I do or say or feel or think, but by his own love and mercy. And so we combine his headship and his saving blood. He is Lord and Savior. That's the whole Christ. If you only see him as a head, oh, you're going to be miserable now. It's going to wear out. You're going to have to obey against your will, and eventually you're not going to want to do it anymore. But when you see him as the Savior of the body, of the church, of the people of Christ, of all who believe, now you can go to him and you can get more strength and keep going, and you see every reason to obey. He died for you. He saved you from the wrath of God. And that's not even talking about heaven. Just being saved from hell. Then heaven? It's unfathomable how much he has done. His salvation is not just, I won't punish you, but I will bless you with endless joy. And this is all because of God and him alone. This is the gospel of his glory. This is salvation by grace. And so I have to be a member of the body of Christ. How do I know I'm a member of the body of Christ? I'm looking for only one word. But I will take two words. How do I know I'm a member of the body of Christ? There's only one way to know. There are other ways to increase my knowledge, but there's only one way to know. How do I know I'm in this body that's been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ?
One word.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's the word. And the other one I would accept is for two words, faith alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not by doing. It is not by obeying your husband. It's not by singing songs and hymns in the heart. It's not by submitting to one another. All of those things, if they are done by faith, are going to add to my assurance. But my assurance is the word of God alone. And he says, whoever, what? Believes.
Mm-hmm.
Shall be saved. Has eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
So if I believe the true gospel, as is here in this, the things that you have heard are the true gospel. Election, predestination, grace, saving faith, God's mercies, obedience, his lordship, a holy life, a brand new life. All of these things are in the gospel. So if I know it's the truth and I want it, that's the key. I have to want this kind of life. I can't be saved any other way. Lord, have mercy on me and forgive me, but I don't want to obey you. That prayer will never be answered, though. But when me and you come down and we bow to him as my head and as the Savior, he is Lord and Savior. That's him. And I believe, I want obedience. I want this salvation. Now, I know it's mine if I trust Christ. All I have to have is faith, and I know for a fact I'm elect, because whoever believes has eternal life. And if you're waiting on a feeling or an emotion or some great change of your life, that's unbelief. And he'll never bless you with a peace of conscience. You are really trying to work for your salvation. If you're saying, I don't know if I'm saved if I don't help you, that's bondage. I'm trying to earn peace by helping you, not through the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I've rejected his son for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's an abomination. It's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be satisfied that by faith alone I'm saved.
Mm-hmm.
I have the inheritance. Now I help you because he said so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the big difference.
Mm-hmm.
I do it because I'm saved. I'm saved because I trust Christ alone. Faith alone. Justification is by faith. O woman, be of good cheer. Why? Your faith has made you whole. Now you go in peace.
Mm-hmm.
And the going in peace is her life of good works. It's her submission unto her husband. It's her submitting unto the other saints in the will of God. It's her giving God thanks in everything. It's her singing and making melody in her heart unto the Lord until she dies. All of that is the going in peace. I bless you. All your sins are gone. Now you go live in that light. That's the gospel. And then verse number 24 will be our last one here. And so he says here, therefore, just as the church, that's the body of believers, black, white, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, African, California, is subject to Christ. Is it possible for a person to be in the church and not be subject unto Christ?
Mm-hmm. Be in the church?
Mm-hmm.
You mean in the church building?
Not the building.
Oh.
It's the Bible is talking about the people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not the church. It's the body of Christ.
So the question is it possible
mm-hmm.
for someone to what?
To be in the church
mm-hmm.
and not be subject unto Christ.
No.
Impossible.
No.
So just as the church is subject unto Christ, his lordship and his salvation, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's absolute Lord, absolute Savior. Well, one of the best messages I heard from Ralph Bonner is on the whosoever wills of the Bible. And in his first point in that sermon, he's talking about the absoluteness of the saviorhood of Christ. That he did it all. And he does it all. And that's the gospel. Anybody that comes and says, that's not God, I did that, they better be talking about sin. Because if they're talking about anything good, it's a lie, isn't it?
Amen.
It's a false gospel. So therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, under obedience, under orders, it's we love our master and our maker because he saves our souls and he is the true God. Oh, let the women, wives, be to their own husbands, even though your own husband is a scoundrel, perhaps. He ain't the Christ, that's for sure. And so even though he's only human at best, be in subjection unto him. How so? In everything. Oh, what an absolute statement. A, the church is in subjection unto Christ in everything. I would be afraid of any soul that ever told me about anything in the Bible. I ain't going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want
any
part
of it. It's scary.
I don't care what God says.
Ooh.
That's a very bad attitude. Now, a true believer fails, has his problems. But you don't hear them saying, I'm not going to obey you, or I don't believe in what you are teaching. I don't see it in the book. I see failures. But whoever said unto God, I'm not going to obey you, and he knew Christ. Nobody in this book. Nobody. The church is in subjection unto Christ, even though we fail and learn and we have to grow. But the woman unto her man, and we've already talked about it, absolute. Don't have an attitude, and I'm speaking also unto the sisters that will hear this recording. Don't try to pick fault in your man and say, I'll obey this, I'll obey that, and I'll obey this. That would be the same as if I said that about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I like Romans 9 and 3, but chapter 12, no. In everything, it's a mind state of a total submission unto this person in the fear of God. That by submitting unto them, I'm obeying Christ. And so actually, as a person is in submission here, her eyes are up here. Her heart is truly here. Her reason to obey this man is not in the man.
Mm-hmm.
It's in her God, her Savior. That this man might be less intelligent, immoral, slothful. It's just a bad dude. And this woman might be a strong child of God, but she shows her strength in her submission. It's an attitude, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That I'm not in rebellion. It's for children and their parents. It's for an employee and the boss. It's for churches and elders. And it isn't that you can't talk, that you can't disagree, that you can't bring more light. But arguing, if a husband and wife are arguing, who's wrong? It doesn't even matter what is being said. If they're arguing,
if she's not submitting,
is the wife is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrong. She is to be submissive. And if you said it and no, you submit. You pray, you ask God. If you get an open door in a week or in an hour, you speak again. And if it is open and it works, praise God. If it's not going to work, then you still submit again. God will work it out. And it's not easy. It's not easy for a slave to obey his master.
Mm-hmm.
But he's commanded.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the grace comes in. And the reward, it will be great. There are many slaves in heaven now free, and their master did not make it. And I can assure you, there are no hurt marks on their wrists of the chain. It's gone forever. There are slaves who said, I ain't obeying that. And that verse is the one that of all the scriptures, that slave said, I ain't obeying that, and went to hell. So let's be wise. This is the word of blessing from a heavenly Father who loves you, who is telling you how to be your happiest as a child of God. Now, if you're in the flesh and you have not the spirit, this is very hard. Especially if you got a bad husband.
Mm-hmm.
Hard life you got right there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in the spirit, you can do all things through Christ. And this is how you really help these other younger women. You guide them, you show them, you teach them. You tell your own experiences of, I had to endure X, Y, and Z, but the Lord. Okay?
Yeah, I know the question is going to come up eventually. Maybe we can end it, we can talk about it over.
Mm-hmm. What's the question?
The question that always comes up is when a woman is being beaten.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's
it. I'll just answer it real quickly. In the scripture, there's only one reason for a divorce, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's for fornication. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it does give permission. And let's just turn there quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'm looking at verse number 10 and 11, and it says this: Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife.
Mm-hmm.
If a wife's husband is an abuser, or a husband's wife is an abuser, this verse says that you have a right to depart, but don't get married again. This marriage is only broken by fornication. If I'm married and the wife is hateful, she's mean, she wants to slap me, I can pack my stuff and go live as with another person. But I'm to honor my vows and hope this time away space, it makes her change and we can get back together. But if she slaps me, I can't say, I'm divorcing you now and I'm going to marry your friend over here. I've had my eye on her this whole time. No, you can't do that. But an abuser, if you walk out, and I often tell women, if not always, leave. If he's putting his hands on you, if you're in the U.S., put him in jail. If he's in the church, talk unto the pastor. Like if it's a woman in our church and her husband isn't a member and he's putting his hands on her, he's going to jail, and it is our job to protect her. In Africa, things are very different. They put up with a lot of abuse, and even the pastors think it's okay. I know pastors who preach truth, but this particular brother's in Kenya, exceedingly faithful, and this particular woman, she came to him on a few occasions. Her husband is beating her, and he's all grieved, but he told her to go back. And I rebuked him. And I'm sure over time, I trust it will help in their thinking. No, that woman is not to be beaten and sent back into the slaughter. Let her move in with the pastor's family or with another saint. Honor her vows. And if he changes, great. If he misses her, great. Or if he gets tired of her and he finds him another woman, great. That's his soul. I'm protecting my sister. So that's what the scripture says, I think.
Thank you.
So let's pray. And if we have some more things to discuss. Our Father, we thank you much for all the grace of Christ, how you teach us, and it's your spirit. If anything is in the heart and in the life, that's 100% you. It isn't even 99.9. You chose us, and you predestined this very moment, and it's you who sends the grace of understanding. And so we thank you for all obedience unto Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our head, our husband. Help our wives in the church to be gracious, humble unto their husbands, and help our husbands, as we'll see next time, to honor them. For our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and to honor you first and foremost. Amen. So, do you know that you believe God? Let's answer that question.